If the above facts pertaining to NDE accounts where people witness events and overhear conversations that take place great distances from their dying body were not in and of itself enough to prove their modern flat earth brain slash mind theories in error, there exist people who learn to separate their mind from the brain. And these people learn to self-induce and bring about what is called an out-of-body, OBE or OOP, experience. And while an OBE would be more of a New Age objective than those associated with the teachings of the Way, which is presented throughout this article, it remains true that the OBE enables the person to visit the countless astral realms that surround the Earth that exist beyond this world, at the most immediate levels of the field. Moreover, there exists a growing body of evidence which substantiates the claims that a certain percentage of people are able to accurately recall previous lives that their soul has lived. What does the Bible state with respect to man's ability to release himself from the body vessel? Paul writes that, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." 2 Cor 12:2-4 NKJ. What Paul is describing is an inner journey beyond the limitations of the physical body to what he portrays as the third level of heaven, beyond the inner gate of the body, and what Paul portrays as paradise where he heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. That other disciples of the Way who were called Gnostics brought about this same transformation of body and mind that enabled them to enter the inner kingdom represents an important aspect of the original spiritual objectives of the teachings of Jesus and the Way. Jesus taught that there is one teacher, and you must learn only from this one teacher, see the true prophet. And the substance of Jesus' teachings of the Way was to enable the disciple to enter the narrow gate within themselves and learn the sacred secrets of creation directly from the one teacher. What Jesus taught with respect to an inner kingdom and a source of all truth, which the ancients called the Logos or mind of God, see Logos, is not at all a religious belief, but rather a fact of life that has been proven to be true by countless seekers the world over. That those who choose to live their lives in often total abandonment of any higher moral or spiritual values and standards can't duplicate this same inner journey into the inner kingdom. And the fact that these same individuals are perceived to dwell in what Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being, or what Plato portrayed as the cave of illusions, is merely the fruit of their own thinking as their carnal chickens come home to roost. When the cultural authorities said the world was flat and Columbus ignored their self-imposed beliefs and traveled to the New World, it was not a religious belief that the New World existed, just like it is not a religious belief that each of us has an inner gateway to the kingdom within. This is a fact of life that has been confirmed by countless witnesses who have themselves made the inner journey. That those who, as the prodigal son who squandered away his inheritance, that is, his vital life force and bioenergies, which portray people who defile their body and choose to live as heathen beasts thereby, destroys and pollutes, as far as in them lies, the deity dwelling in them, that is, the Logos by association with their vices, see Logos. And because of this defilement and pollution, they dwell in what Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being, see the outer darkness, that causes them to be blind to man's own higher reality of soul. And the kingdom does not at all mean that all of mankind must remain spiritually blind and alienated from the higher knowledge of the soul and the kingdom of God. From a purely constitutional perspective, the knowledge of this inner kingdom and the higher reality of the soul can and should be portrayed as a birthright, and this sacred knowledge is therefore very much an unalienable right that can't be censored by counterfeit teachers who knowingly suppress and censor the facts in order to promote a godless and immoral culture. Again, to clarify, while the existence of the inner kingdom is a fact, religion is the mindset and lifestyle that the person must live and put into practice in order to break down the barrier of separation of what is allegorically portrayed as heaven and earth within themselves. The objectives of the teachings of the Way that are presented throughout this web article is to go within the mind, in contradistinction to external astral realms, and open the inner door to the soul and what I call the realm of souls on the Being of Light website. But even this would be considered elementary. The objective of the original Ebionite Nazarene teachings of Jesus and the Way was to so transform the body that the inner walls of division become negated, and the physical mind becomes united with the soul or higher soul self, who is the true being that each of us is. But to accomplish this, you must not only open the mind and release it from its physical limitations, you must also redirect your vital life force energy so that it is no longer drained and lost in the outer world. And you must develop those areas of mind, not brain, that connects with your own higher reality that is not a part of the Earth's vibration. Ultimately, you want to bring about the next stage of birth, which we would call soul birth. Pseudo-intellectuals, mental abortion, the laws which obstruct the birth process. It is written in the Gospels. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" John 3, 1-12 NKJ. We should ask, what profound truth is Jesus teaching in these words? That there is a multitude of births that must be brought about in order to enter what Jesus portrayed as the kingdom of God? And one of the gravest mistakes that can be made today is to classify these words as a religious belief that is taken upon static and complacent faith apart from a course of actions that brings this process of birth about in the life of the believer. It must be understood that in Jesus' own lifetime, he was never perceived to be God, as was the case among the later Gentiles, but was very much a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And in most things, Jesus was a witness to man's own higher potential and reality, which means that when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about the need to be born a second time, what he was expressing was the need to bring about these subsequent stages of birth were in reality a fact of life that was relevant to all of mankind. Just as important to every person today is the fact that as a teacher, Jesus expected Nicodemus to understand the subsequent stages of birth. This same expectation is required of all those who call themselves a teacher, and that requirement is to understand these subsequent stages of birth that represent the most important fact of life that each and every person must come to terms with. Thus, Jesus asked the paramount question that is relevant to everyone who is considered a teacher or philosopher: how Nicodemus could be even considered a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Thus, indicating that a true teacher must know about the necessity of bringing about the next stage of birth. Therefore, we must pose the question: what is a teacher? Is it not one who instructs? One who attempts to evolve and expand the thinking of the student? When Jesus' words are rightly understood, to be a teacher, one must develop the mind. And if the mind is not developed through the process of expansion and birth, it is because counterfeit pseudo-teachers and cultures based upon the error of men have attempted to program the mind of the student to parrot and regurgitate upon demand. Of primary importance is Jesus' words to Nicodemus with respect to the necessity and validity of knowledge as measured in the equation of bringing about the next stages of birth. And this is true if you are a religious teacher, a secular teacher, a self-help New Age guide, or a philosophical guide, that is. What Jesus is stating is that if you do not know about the necessity of bringing about the next stage of birth, then you are a pseudo-teacher who is inflicting great harm upon those who you are attempting to teach and guide. Why? In the same way that we would question a woman who was pregnant whose only medical advice is derived from a snake oil salesman, any teacher who does not know the way to assist the child in achieving the next stage of birth is a detriment to that child. Every bona fide religion has its mystics, and mystics are those who are willing to overcome the limitations of the physical body and consciousness and seek higher spiritual reality and truth that is not readily available to organic man. but herein lies the crux of the problem that is. The mystic must begin to develop the intuitive, feminine, spheres of mind that are not supported by this physical world. And then he must bring the necessary balance within himself. In Judaism, the mystics were often students of what is known as Kabbalah in Christianity. They were Gnostics, and in Islam, the Sufis are representative of the mystical traditions that were kept secret. Before we can even begin to explore this subject, it is important to be cognizant of the fact that traditionally, to even be accepted as a student of Jewish mysticism, a male had to be Torah observant, 30 years old, and married. Women did not traditionally study Torah and Kabbalah, because such linear study was in fact a detriment to the development of their feminine intuitive powers of mind that was necessary in the higher equation of marriage. When the Torah is allegorically ritualized, it is the outward expression of these biblical rituals that act as a catalyst which begins to connect the outer person we are in this world with the inner soul and spiritual reality that few men are even remotely aware of. Notice that I use the term begins to connect because it very much is a beginning. In order to expand the mind, the person must maintain a very high degree of conscious awareness, and this is why Paul commanded to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Cor 10:5 NIV. And why Jesus commanded, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Matt 12:36 KJV. And what words are not considered idle? Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thess 5:17 KJV. The rituals and outward requirements of the Torah, as well as most religious traditions, represent catalysts which are intended to reflect the inner and the outer, and slowly begin to attune the mind to man's higher soul and spiritual reality. Most people can be defined by the modern computer data saying, garbage in, garbage out, and because they remain carnal and earthbound in their thinking, there is nothing of any real substance that is developed in their thinking and mindset. Another requirement to study Jewish mysticism is that the man, male, must be 30 years old, which is necessitated because of the condition of mind that embodies a degree of maturity. In the Epistle of Peter and James, the requirement was that a seeker/disciple had to prove themselves 6 years before they could undertake the study of the esoteric teachings that Jesus and his disciples revealed only to the few who had developed to the point where the higher concepts of soul and spirit could be comprehended. Further, unlike Eastern religions and the way of the monk or yogi, the Hebrew mystics understood that, in the case of most people, it was necessary to be married in order to more easily create the environment which would better facilitate the fulfillment of the laws, with the objective to fulfill the laws that would enable the seeker to bring about the next stage of birth. Those few who had developed to the degree that they were able to perceive and understand what Jesus and the gospel authors portrayed as the mysteries of the kingdom of God, comprehended the duality of the divine pattern with which all of creation was holographically imbued, and they recognized that in the allegory of the scriptures, Eve was externalized and said to be drawn from Adam, and this separation of the two natures as portrayed in the embodiment of the divine pattern was necessary in order to fulfill the conditions that permitted the development of the mind and spirit of man, and enabled the laws to bring about the subsequent stages of birth. While it is true that opposite gender differences are necessary for physical propagation, what is true in the physical is merely the holographic pattern that is also true on all levels of our being. Thus, these same opposite gender differences are just as important in bringing about the development of mind and spirit which fulfills the laws, and it is the fulfillment of the laws which brings about an equally as important subsequent stages of birth that is portrayed in the above words of Jesus. Further, the reality of bringing about these next stages of birth has absolutely nothing to do with religion, because it is merely a higher fact of life that is paramount in the reality of all people that is. The knowledge of these subsequent stages of birth, which are facts of life, are unalienable and God-given. Jesus and the core disciples entered into the world at that time as a group to restore this God-given knowledge of man's higher reality that is his inheritance. Yet, because the church not only adopted the pagan doctrines of Rome, and in the manner of the Pharisees, they threw away what Jesus called the key of knowledge, the Christian understanding of the above words of Jesus, which state that one must be born again from above in order to enter the kingdom, is no longer understood. And in the folly of their carnal interpretations, the Christian world has attempted to redefine the process of birth as saying a prayer. Yet, nothing could be further from the truth. And while the idea that the subsequent stages of birth can be brought about with a prayer is very much a religious belief, the reality that each person must achieve and bring about the subsequent stages of birth is not. There is an all-pervading law that is manifest in the very fabric of our core DNA that is. Those who deprive others of this essential knowledge that is their birthright will themselves be deprived of even the higher knowledge that is essential to their very sustenance. Therefore, the threefold birth process must be a core requirement in the instruction of others by those who present themselves as a teacher, shepherd, or guide. From an organic structure of the laws that control the birth process, unless you are actively involved in the birth process on all levels of being, in the manner of a spiritual midwife who is actively assisting and guiding others in the birth process, then you will yourself be inhibited by the organic laws of creation from bringing about this next stage of birth within yourself. If we ask the question, is the threefold birth process a religious belief? In the same way that biological reproduction transcends what many would portray as the separation of church and state, the knowledge of this next stage of birth, which Jesus noted, is not subject to a wall of constitutional separation, because the knowledge itself being a fact of life, as well as the knowledge of the laws, is an inherent part of the God-given rights of all people to pursue with respect to their common destiny. In many respects, the whole body of scientific knowledge is the study of the laws that has created the conditions of the life we are living. We generate and control such things as electricity control vehicles, such as cars, airplanes, and even rocket ships that travel into outer space. Our whole system of modern electronics is built upon our knowledge of the laws, and all our progress that stretches the boundaries of science is all firmly established through the process of controlling and overcoming the organic laws of the earth that have limited the progress and knowledge of generations in the past. Scientifically, the process of learning and the expansion of mind and being is merely invoking the laws to bring this condition about in our lives. If education is deemed an essential right, then so too is the means by which the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness can be achieved. In fact, true education cannot be achieved apart from the next stage of birth that enables the expansion of mind that brings enlightenment beyond the carnal about. And, as noted in the Encyclopedia Britannica article under the heading, The History of Christian Mysticism, the very purpose of the teachings of the way was to bring this expansion of mind about, as demonstrated where the article reads, although the essence of mysticism is the sense of contact with the transcendent, mysticism in the history of Christianity should not be understood merely in terms of special ecstatic experiences, but as part of a religious process lived out within the context of the Christian community. From this perspective, mysticism played a vital part in the early church. Early Christianity was a religion of the spirit that expressed itself in the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness. In the same way that some Christians cling to the belief that the subsequent stages of birth can be brought about with a prayer, it is equally a religious belief that is promoted by the atheists and secularists, that the mind can be evolved in the endeavor to bring about the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness by programming the mind with data in the manner of loading files onto a computer hard drive, as is done in our traditional educational systems today. Both represent religious/philosophical beliefs, and both are equally a detriment to the people who practice these religious/philosophical beliefs. The only difference is that, while the public has been protected from the folly of the dogmatic beliefs of Christians, the public has been victimized by the lack of protection which has been inflicted upon them by the secular progressives, who are literally forcing their religious/philosophical beliefs upon the people. How can I make such an absurd statement? It will be asked. How can I compare our vast system of education with a religious belief, even portraying them both as equally counterfeit? I not only can't, but I have done so. Because our systems of education are merely bringing about the practice of atheist-driven secular religious practices, atheist quasi-religious thinking, which they are using the power and finances of government to force the people to observe in an unconstitutional manner. But to understand why our system of education is nothing more than the religious practices of atheism and secular progressives, it has to be first understood that the only means to bring about the objective of the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness is through the expansion of the mind through the process of birth, which is one of the primary objectives of life as we know it in this present world. And while the Christians cling to one religious belief with respect to how this process of birth is brought about, the secular progressives promote their own religious/philosophical beliefs, and both are equally flawed. In the same way that the embryo in its mother's womb is evolving through the process of physical expansion, which will permit its entrance into this world at birth. Upon entering this world, we become a mental embryo that must evolve through the process of mental expansion in order to achieve the next stage of birth that Jesus stated every teacher must understand the principles of. What Jesus stated with respect to the necessity of bringing about this next stage of birth is a fact of human reality and involves the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness in order to achieve the next birth. Because neither the church nor the pseudo-intellectuals understand the next phase of the threefold process of birth, they remain incapable of comprehending the words of Jesus. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Mark 10:15 RSV. While the church has attempted to portray these words as the need of infant baptism, the reality that is being portrayed has totally escaped their understanding. In the same way that you emerged into this world as a child that physically evolved in your mother's womb, you are presently dwelling in the womb of Mother Earth, and unless you evolve through the stages of mind and mental expansion in a similar manner that your body evolved through the stages of physical expansion in order to become a child in this world, it will remain impossible for you to become a child in the next phase of the threefold birth process. Again, how to achieve this next stage of birth can be classified a religious belief, while the necessity to achieve the next stage of birth is a human fact of life, and the constitutional wall of separation, which bars the state from making a law that inhibits the practice of religion, bars the government or any sectarian or secular institution from interfering in the process of bringing about this next phase of birth and interfering in any manner with the continuation of the birth process, which makes one receive the kingdom as a child of this necessary birth event. And what this means is that in the same way that sex education and reproduction are part of the educational curriculum, so too must the environment and conditions that bring about the next stage of birth that is a fact of life, religion. On the other hand, is the philosophy of the mindset and lifestyle necessary to bring this next stage of birth about in the life of the individual that pursues their true potential and destiny? A paramount fact of life that is controlled by the laws of creation is demonstrated in this statement. If a person does not engage in sex, then they can't procreate, that is. The laws of nature and nature's God inhibits reproduction without the biological interaction of the opposite sex. Another paramount fact of life is this. Once the laws are understood, the same requirements that are necessary to fulfill on a physical level remain valid and true with respect to bringing about the next stages of birth. And in understanding the laws, a potential student of Jewish mysticism was required to be married, and if we ask why, it is not to fulfill tradition or physical propagation as many believe, but rather to fulfill the requirements of the laws with respect to the expansion of mind and spirit in order to bring about the next stages of soul birth and spiritual birth. That the average Jew did not at all understand this higher reality of marriage is because the average Jew sees only the written words of the Torah and lacks any real comprehension of his own higher reality. Is the knowledge of these subsequent stages of birth and the ability to use this knowledge to fulfill the laws of religious belief? If a sect of religious people were to attempt to portray the process of procreation as a product of religion, there would be outrage. In the same way that procreation is a biological function, so too is the next phase of birth that is not understood by either sectarian or non-sectarian pseudo-authorities today. In the same way that procreation is a fact of life that may or may not have religious significance, so too is the next stage of birth a fact of life that must be achieved in order for man to bring about permanence. Thus, it must be understood that in the life and development of the child, we are not making reference to religious beliefs or doctrines herein, but rather, the next stage of human development that must be brought about, if that child is to progress beyond the point that can only be described as the most rudimentary level of said human development. If a parent was to keep their child confined to a closet and never permitted that child to develop beyond the most basic of human animal levels, would we judge that parent to be negligent? And perhaps even criminally negligent? Yes, for good reason we would. When the Chinese used to wrap a young girl's feet in order to inhibit their growth and development, these constraints inhibited the laws from bringing about the natural expansion of the body. The fact that when the constraints were removed at a later age did not mean that the feet would begin to grow. Once the laws which brought about growth were obstructed, the process could not be reversed at a later time. In many respects, our modern culture is very much synonymous with the constraints that inhibit the laws from bringing about the next phase of birth. Because this next phase is the process of the necessary expansion of mind that enables the person to see and comprehend from a higher soul perspective, both the exercise of man's free will and the constraints of man's culture and social environment, have the ability to abort the birth process. Further, in the same way that man's greatest obstacle to true progress is often caused by his own ignorance, if he is unwilling or unable to move beyond his inhibiting barriers and travail in the frontiers beyond the limitations of his cultural past, then no real progress can be achieved with respect to freeing himself from his own self-imposed conditions of ignorance. In the same way that after the period of growth had expired, the young girl's feet that were constrained did not begin to correct the violation of the laws of nature that was perpetrated upon her as a victim of her culture, and she had to continue throughout her life with the cruel results of the ignorance that was invoked upon her as a child during necessary stages of development, it is near impossible to reverse the constraints of man's religious, philosophical, intellectual, and cultural ignorance. Once a child or person has moved beyond those necessary periods where proper growth and development should be brought about, in the same way that a child's physical development must be age-appropriate, so too must the child or person's development be brought about within the laws that builds the proper foundation of mind and being that permits the phases of birth to be built upon. Further, one of the most important phases in the developmental birth process can only be fulfilled by assisting and guiding a child through the initial developmental stages, which is an integral part of the process that is necessary for the laws to bring about the continued development of those who are the child's parents, teachers, and guides. Allegorically, when Jesus rebuked those who were inhibiting the young children from coming to him, this same reality of law remains in effect. Because the interaction and proper development of a child and the preparation of the child to bring about the next phase of birth is important in the continued development of the teachers and guides themselves. Those adults who inhibit the stages of birth development in the young children are themselves inhibited by the organic laws of the earth from bringing about their own development and advancement. And if these obstacles are promoted by a religion, philosophy, government, or culture, then the whole of that religion, philosophy, government, and culture are themselves inhibited by the laws from bringing about their own development, that is, as you do unto others, will be returned back upon you. What this means is that in failing to understand and even inhibiting the child from maturing through the stages of development which Jesus portrayed as the next level of birth, then whoever is responsible for that child is negligent in accord with the higher laws of nature and nature's God, which is acknowledged in the founding documents of the United States. And it is these organic laws of nature and creation that all of mankind is in subjection to. And because those who call themselves teachers and authorities, whether sectarian or secular non-sectarian, are the most responsible for inhibiting the natural development of the child, then the lives that they live will be within the confines of the mental and intellectual prison that Jesus taught about. See the prison. The law is that whatever we do unto others will be returned back to us, and those who inhibit the process of birth in others will find themselves confronted and obstructed by the same obstacles that they impose upon others. While the critics of this position will readily respond with the argument that, I can't prove this to be factual. The fact of the matter is that anyone can prove the truth by seeking to live the necessary consecrated life in the way that will bring this next stage of birth about. And thus, the dilemma that was presented to mankind by the constitutional framers who declared that all men are created equal, born with unalienable God-given rights, and in the same way that the secularists, atheists, and unbelievers have an absolute right to live in accord with their philosophy and religion as represented in their mindset and lifestyle which they embrace, so too do other people have the absolute right to pursue their own destiny without coercion and control upon them, from either the state or an establishment of religion that is not their own. In the United States, this right of the parent to raise their child so as to rear them within an environment that enables them to bring about the necessary heightening and enlargement of human consciousness that enables this next stage of birth to be brought about is supposed to be a right that is beyond the control of the state or any other group. Why is this declared constitutional right of the utmost importance to be observed and protected by government? Because the next stage of birth that is a rung in the ladder of human development can only be brought about by a conscious and purposeful life on the part of the individual. And thus, while confirmed by the few, can be proven by virtually anyone who is willing to apply themselves to bringing about the objectives. In the same way that the ability to reproduce is a paramount reality of man's physical DNA, so too is the ability to bring about the next stage of birth an innate ability maintained by the very laws of creation and nature.